Hey there, did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-797-1256. 800-797-1256. That's 800-797-1256.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us for this edition of Sports Byline. Hope you had a good day. Got a good hour coming up for you. Matter of fact, the whole show is pretty good. And I'll tell you about some of the guests coming up in just a second. But on the Friday night edition of Sports Byline, some baseball talk with Tommy Lasorda and also Kirk Gibson. Tommy, of course, Hall of Fame manager, 20 years with the Dodgers, been in the organization for more than 60 years. Won two World Series championships, so we'll talk some baseball with Tommy. And then Kirk Gibson's going to be with us. Kirk won two World Series as well, one in the American League with the Tigers, one with the Dodgers. And boy, he was the guy that set the tone for that 1988 World Series against the Oakland A's, because he's one of the most dramatic moments I've ever witnessed in sports, where Kirk came out of the clubhouse, grabbed a bat, limped to the plate, and of course off of Dennis Eckersley, hit the home run that won the ball game, and then that set the tempo and the tune for the entire World Series with the Dodgers, which the Dodgers won. So we'll be talking to him. And also Roy Eisenhart will be here for the inside angle as we take a look at some of the issues in sports. And also Nomar Garcia-Para, married to Mia Hamm, the star, of course, soccer player for the U.S. national team. And he played for 14 and a half seasons, eight of those, eight plus, with the Boston Red Sox. So we got a good show for you on the next Sports Byline. I don't know whether you've heard or not, but after spending the past 20 years in a CBS broadcast booth, Phil Sims will be covering the NFL from a different setting starting in 2017. It's been announced that he'll be making the move to the CBS studio beginning with the upcoming season, which means you'll be seeing him every week on the NFL Today. And one of the reasons for that is that Tony Gonzalez has announced that he's decided to step aside due to the fact that he lives in Los Angeles, which meant he had to travel to New York each week during the regular season. And after 3 years of making the cross-country journey every week, the Falcons' former tight end felt that it wasn't in the best interests of his family to continue the job. Speaking of broadcasters, I'm going to share with you an interview out of our library with the late Chris Schenkel. Now, if you're an older person, you certainly know that name, but nearly 50 years as a network broadcaster, and he did just about everything you can think of when it came to sports. We've got you on Sports Byline.
If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace from Doctor Approved Medical at little to no cost. Many people are now using our brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and feel relief that they haven't had in years. Don't let your back pain get worse. Call 800-507-1148. Call now and get free shipping plus a free, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit tocowarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
You check things all the time, like your email every 10 seconds, or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit, compare your card. Go to discover.com/creditscorecard. Limitations apply.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
And now our tribute to the late Chris Schenkel. Always nice to have Chris Schenkel with us, the Hall of Fame broadcaster. 45 years as a network announcer, he's covered virtually every major sporting event, including 9 Olympics and 4-time winner of the National Sportscaster of the Year Award. Chris, good evening to you. How are you?
Well, thank you, Ron. It's good to hear from you again.
What was the secret, Chris, to your versatility? Because you have covered almost every sporting event you can imagine, and that's not an easy thing to do.
Well, it was sort of a goal when I went to Purdue University and was on the college radio station and started getting jobs in small stations. I just wanted to do a variety of things, and it stood me in good stead because I was able to just spend a lot of time with the networks and do all the things I did. It took a lot of preparation and a lot of courage to go in some of the sports way back when you weren't quite sure how much you knew about them. So in the early days of TV, they had no one to compare you to, Ron. So it's sort of a free ride for a couple of years, and you can master your trade and come out all right.
Your early years with ABC, back when they were working up Wide World of Sports, yeah. Back in those early days, what was it like? Was it Wooly and Bully? And I mean, was it Harry out there developing that show on the fly?
Well, I think so. I had been at CBS for years, and Rune Arledge brought me over to ABC, and we just didn't have a lot of the technical devices that we got earlier. A lot of remote pieces of equipment that helped make it easy, and then of course videotape came along, and that was a godsend that we got videotape, because you can make the events almost seem as though they were happening at the moment. And at the beginning it was rough because nobody had done it, and you went into areas where nobody had any type of a setup, a booth or anything. So Jim McKay and I had some hairy places to broadcast from, I'll tell you. Really wild.
Such as?
Sitting on the top of a chicken coop. I did this doing my first rodeo because, well, there was a chicken coop at the one end of the rodeo, the stadium. And at that time, nobody was doing rodeos. And so we got this rodeo, and I'll never forget it. Ex-rodeo cowboy named Lex Thompson worked with me. Big, tall, gangly guy. And his legs were hanging off the edge of this chicken house. and our makeshift table where the mic was on and the preparation that we had done. But it was high enough that it gave us a pretty good vantage point.
Over the course of the years, I mean, I know you have a lot of great stories, but what was the most difficult moment outside of the Olympics in 72 in Munich? And I'll talk about that separately. But outside of that, what were the most difficult moments?
Well, I think the most difficult was after Munich, and I can't remember the year, but it was in the 80s. I was going to Katowice, Poland, to televise a dual meet between the United States and Poland. And when I got to JFK Airport, I saw the Polish airliner that we were all going on. And having flown so much and being an airplane buff, I looked at it and said, Chris is not going to fly that baby. So I went over to Swiss Air and went through Geneva and got to Warsaw, Poland. And as we landed, pilots said for everyone to stay aboard. And here come the gendarmes, the police. And they make a beeline for me, and they take me off the airplane. And I thought, wow, what have I done? But they took me in a room and said, we're sorry to inform you, but your friends that you were going to meet here, he said, the airplane they were on, the Polish airliner, crashed 4 miles from the runway, and they were all killed. So with that, the phone rings, and it's ABC in New York, and they asked me to go to the site of the crash and then write to the hotel and do a report on what I'd seen and what the situation was. And then later we did a wide world segment the next day. But to me, that was the toughest because there were some very close friends on that Polish airliner. And then a year later, I went to Cuba to do another boxing event with Carlos Palomino, the great welterweight champion. And one of those killed was his young brother. And it was such a tough thing because I knew he wanted to ask me what the crash site was like, and he just didn't have the courage to do it. So before we left, before I left Cuba, I said, Carlos, I know you want to know. So I told him it was a period of sadness that almost equaled the incident in Warsaw, Poland.
When you were inducted into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, the man that inducted you was Jack Brickhouse, and of course he passed away. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about Jack and his life and his broadcasting career?
Well, he was a longtime friend, and 2 years ago when I was inducted into the American Sportscasters Association, there too, and it was one of the greatest introductions I'd ever heard, and this was the type of man that he took a lot of time to get to know his friends, not directly from you, but from other people and from the work you did. And I had done, I guess, 3 NFL championship games with Jack over the years because I was a New York Football Giant announcer and he was with the Chicago Bears. So when they met in championship games, Bert Bell, the commissioner then, had the 2 announcers do the game. So I did one that he wasn't on. It was Lindsey Nelson working with me in Chicago, Wrigley Field. And my family had given me an early Christmas gift of a pair of electric socks that to keep your feet warm. Well, before halftime, something went wrong. The electricity went out of my socks and my feet were freezing. And my spotter sent word up to the press box, and Jack Brickhouse got the message. He was there, and he came down and gave me his boots, and so I wouldn't freeze during the second half and be able to talk. But that's just a little example of what Jack was like. He was so generous, and Howard Cosell and I used to travel a lot together, and we'd play games on airplanes, word games. And I one evening on a flight, I said, Howard, let's play word games with sportscasters. I'll give you the names of sportscasters, and I did, and he had some very harsh words for a few. And then I said, Jack Brickhouse. And he said, Christopher, the legend. Jack Brickhouse, the legend. So that gives you a pretty good idea. And I think Howard was a great judge of talent. And that's exactly what Jack was. And I feel so badly for his wife, Pat, because they had such a wonderful relationship together over a long period of time and used to come to Indiana to an Alice Faye and Phil Harris event in Linton that I attended as well. And I would see him once a year at the Hall of Fame dinner in New York, and now that he's gone, I'm just sorry that I didn't take more time to go to Chicago and spend more time with him. Yes.
Is there something that's consistent about the great announcers, Chris?
I think the ones that have reached a certain age now, they go back, and they all started in radio, and as I did. And I can only be very thankful because, I know that Harry and Jack both felt that way, that it gave you a wonderful background on how to put words together, how to describe a situation where you had no picture to help you. And I think that's the main thing I think of veteran sportscasters like the two you mentioned. That it was the radio background that made them great, not only in radio, but television as well.
Chris, there's another common denominator that I've found over the years, and that I think that the great announcers, and I remember reading the book Voices of the Game, is the fact that they all came from that radio background, and so they're fundamentally, they were really solid announcers. They knew that they had to describe the picture. They knew that they had to fill that void, and I think that is the thing that is synonymous with all the great announcers. They were both entertainers as we moved along in the careers, and that's what was called for, as well as information people.
And I think also, Ron, we all, in the early days, had to work very hard to even get a job, and had to work extremely hard to keep it, and then to move up the ladder, it took a lot of doing, a lot of ingenuity, and thank heavens God gave all of us a measure of talent, and we were able to use it.
Hold on just a second. Chris Schenkel, Hall of Fame broadcaster, has joined us, and if you'll give me another segment longer with Chris, because I want to get into other aspects of his fine career as we continue across the country and around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network and the Internet. We've got you on Sports Byline.
The sun can make your outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable you can't use it. But now there's the Sunsetter Retractable Awning. A Sunsetter Retractable Awning opens and closes in just 60 seconds, and it keeps your patio about 20 degrees cooler. It provides instant shade and protection from the sun's harmful rays. You can get your Sunsetter for as little as $5.99 when you call now to get your special $200 discount certificate and free awning idea kit. You're going to love your Sunsetter Retractable Awning. Sunsetter awnings are assembled in America and guaranteed to last. So call 800-692-0268 now to get a free awning idea kit with DVD plus your $200 Sunsetter discount certificate. This is a limited time offer, so call 800-692-0268. That's 800-692-0268 for your free awning idea kit with DVD and $200 discount certificate. There's no obligation, so call 800-692-0268 now.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. By now, you know all too well that SR22 auto insurance is way more than you'd ever want to pay. You probably thought you didn't have a choice, but you were wrong. Our company specializes in low-cost, very affordable SR22 auto insurance for high-risk drivers. We know that mistakes happen, so take pride in being able to offer absolutely free quotes for this very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. We're standing by at 800-758-0725. The only thing you need to do is stop waiting around while your monthly payments stay as high as they are. Our knowledgeable representatives are ready for your call at 800-758-0725. The quote is free, and we'll even handle the filings so you could start saving money every month even sooner. Call 800-758-0725. That's 800-758-0725. Once more, 800-758-0725.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Taking a look at the scoreboard in the NBA playoffs, Cleveland 3-0 now in their series against Indiana as they win the third game, 119-114, and they came from behind. The Pacers blow a 25-point halftime lead. They were down by as many as 31. LeBron had a big game, a triple-double, 41 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists. Again, the Cavaliers 119, Pacers 114. On the ice in the National Hockey League, the Rangers have grabbed a 3-2 lead in their series with the Canadiens, beating them in game number 5, 3-2 in overtime. And Pittsburgh 5-2 over Columbus, so they win that series in 5 games. Fleury made 49 saves, and Brian Rust scored twice. On the American League side of the baseball scoreboard, 10-inning win for Boston, 4-1 over Toronto. Big game for Chris Sale, allowed 4 hits over 8 shutout innings with 13 strikeouts, and Betts a 3-run homer to win it. Cleveland tripled up Minnesota 6-2, a 3-run Cleveland seventh the key. Carlos Santana, he had 2 doubles and drove in 2 runs. It was Tampa Bay 8-1 over Detroit as the Rays sweep the series. Tampa Bay jumped out to a 4-1 lead. Houston edged the Angels 2-1. Beltran with his first home run in Houston in 12.5 years. And on the National League side in 10, Baltimore 2, Cincinnati 1. That's your sports update.
Patroni Vineyards produces Paggio Ella Pietra, California's first gold medal-winning Sangiovese Grosso grape, cloned from Italy's Brunello di Montesino. To enjoy Paggio Ella Pietra's rich, seductive flavors, visit PatroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today.
And now we continue with our tribute to the late Chris Schenkel.
Chris Schenkel has joined us and you. Chris, let's talk a little bit about 1972 and the Olympic situation. Jim McKay was with us maybe about 2 months ago, and he talked very emotionally about it as well. And I suppose, you know, above the obvious, just beyond what the obvious would be in a circumstance like that, what are the little things that still stay in your mind back in the corners when you reflect back to that tragedy?
First thing I guess comes to my mind is the fact that as anchorman of all those games, those telecasts, Rune Arledge being the producer, in the studio in Munich, we'd finish, get off the air about 2:30, and we'd usually have a beverage. And, we had a beer, I might as well say it. excuse me, I wish I had one now, because it'll tickle my throat. But we'd always go off the side door of my studios to get in the car and go back to the hotel. And the next day, at a quieter time, after some of the hectic times calmed down, we looked at the area outside the door, and it was the grass was all beaten down where they had hidden before they climbed over the fence. So that meant one thing, that if Rune and I had seen them, we would be dead, because they would have taken care of us because they didn't want to be spotted. That was the first thing that got our attention. And, of course, the whole ordeal, I missed most of the daytime things because I was sleeping. But then I had to come back in and anchor the telecast, and then we all signed off, and Jim handled so much of it and so well. And it was just such an empty feeling when they were all killed, and I had to sign off with Peter Jennings and Lou Chiaffi and Jim. And I just made your mind was somewhere else, other than the tragedy, because I did say, and it was sort of foolish, but viewers understood, but I did sign off and say that we hoped they would join us again tomorrow, because there'll be a memorial service, and I told the time and all that, and I said, I hope you'll be with us, because I think you'll enjoy it. Well, you know, it's just one of those things. I always said that to the end of a telecast. And that was, you know, in sort of retrospect, you thought, wow, how you'd drawn a complete blank of what had just preceded, what had happened the previous many hours. And you only thought of the closing of a telecast. But we got through it and got through the memorial service the next day, and the games went on, as I think they should have. And but you'll always have that indelible hurt. It's just it's like the blight. It's I don't like to talk about it, and I know Jim doesn't either.
Yeah, it's almost accentuated, though, isn't it, Chris, because of the fact that we're talking about sports competition, which is so positive, only to find something happened that's so negative. I mean, the dichotomy there is just amazing.
Really, and the people of Munich, the police of Munich, everybody had tried their best to show any signs of a military state, you know, remembering World War II and all the Nazi atrocities. And the people in Munich just tried to keep it as calm and friendly as they possibly could. No uniforms. Many, many undercover police. And then here come the bad guys and did such a terrible thing. So hopefully that won't happen again at Olympic area. But it continues to happen all over the world, so it's a sad state of affairs.
David, you're in Phoenix. We got you with Chris Schenkel.
Hi, Ron. Hi, Chris. How are you doing this evening?
Well, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I'm originally from the San Francisco Bay Area, and I used to, when I was a kid, I don't want to age both of ourselves, but I used to catch it when the Pro Bowler Store came to Alameda, Mel's Bowl.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I just remember what a thrill it was, just seeing the whole ABC crew there, seeing you guys there in your blazers and stuff. And
well, thank you.
And it got me into broadcasting as well. I'm an engineer. I'm behind the scenes, but my love for broadcasting is the same. I'm just wondering, well, what would you think, in your experience of broadcasting, was the one moment that elevated the human spirit for you? Just like, you know, just one, something that brought, that just comes to mind that makes you think, wow, I'm so glad I witnessed this event.
Well, I think it would have to go back to 1958 when I had the good fortune, along with Chuck Thompson, the Baltimore Colt announcer. I was the New York Giant announcer, and it was the first sudden death NFL championship game, which Baltimore won. And it made the NFL, truthfully, because no stands were filled prior to that game. And after that, all the stands were filled, and it just made pro football what it is today. So from a commercial standpoint, I guess it would have to be that. Watching some of the Olympic athletes where I was doing play-by-play, like watching Peggy Fleming win her gold medal at Grenoble in 68, that would be one of the really highlights of my broadcasting career. And what the nice part was, then we worked together on many telecasts later, and she became and is a very close friend. And I hope she's listening in Los Gatos and is feeling well.
And I was just wondering, what's your take on the new breed of broadcaster today? I know, like on ESPN, it seems to be more style over substance. I was just wondering if you were to give me advice to up and comers, what would it be?
I couldn't quite hear you. I'm on a portable phone. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, he wondered what advice you would give to up-and-coming broadcasters. When you take a look at ESPN, it seems to be more style than substance.
Okay, I would get some videotapes of some of the broadcasters of the past and watch how they did it, and you could tell how they prepared by the things they were saying. And then, if you had the good fortune to go on a telecast, remember that the picture is much stronger than anything you can say. It's bigger than 1,000 words. So that would be my best advice to them, that write captions under the picture and you'll probably succeed.
You were the voice of ABC's Pro Bowlers Tour for 36 years,
yeah.
Chris. What was the reason for that telecast success for such a long period of time? We're talking bowling here. We're not talking one of the real major sports. Or at least not major in the terms of we describe major sports.
Well, we had such a loyal audience because there are millions that bowl, you know, whether it be in leagues or just go to an establishment and bowl a game or two. And we were always in the same time slot and the same network, and we were live, except on the West Coast, of course, but we just had a built-in group of loyal viewers, and that kept it going, and we outrated everybody for so many years until cable came along and the other networks ganged up on us, and we still held our own. But at one time, we were giants when it came to ratings. But the biggest fun of it was for me was getting to know the bowlers, who are among the finest people I've ever known. And that's what I miss most by ABC taking it off the air, that I can't see them every week for 20 weeks.
Boyd, let me ask you, is the best job in the world doing bowling and broadcasting?
I think it is. It's probably as much fun as any event you could ever cover, and it's rather easy to do, and it's low-key, and in 90 minutes you get a winner, and what more can you ask?
You know, one of the things I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear is that bowling is one of the most successfully rated shows as far as television goes. It's outrated basketball, tennis, golf, and hockey. One of the other things, Chris, that I think is probably part of that success is it's a little bit like auto racing, stock car racing, because a lot of people can relate to. They can come up and touch, and they can talk to down-to-earth people, these particular athletes. Would you agree with that? Because I find the auto racers very accessible, very amenable to getting close to the public. Hold on, Chris. We're going to take a break here. Come back on the other side. We'll continue with you on Sports Byline USA.
It's here, the biggest flooring event of the year, Lumber Liquidators 14th Annual April Sale, with 5 days of once-in-a-lifetime prices on top-quality North American and European laminate from 49 cents, pre-finished hardwood from just $1.19, bamboo from $1.39, get wood-look waterproof floors from 59 cents, limited-time deals on small lots from 29 cents, and more, plus special financing. Don't miss it. New deals added daily. Get to the April Sale at Lumber Liquidators today.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS, or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
As spring brings new color to the world, why not bring new color to your walls? Ask Sherwin-Williams during the 4-Day Super Sale and save 40% off paints and stains April 21st through the 24th. With such great deals, you can give your whole home a color makeover. Your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store is right around the corner. Find it at sherwinwilliams.com/save. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
And now we continue with our tribute to the late Chris Schenkel.
Chris Schenkel has joined us and you. Chris, what was the genesis of ABC Wild World of Sports?
Well, it began in 1962. Ed Sherrick, who is now a film producer in Hollywood, he had a company called Sports Programs. And among other things, they produced the pregame New York Football Giants show, which Frank Gifford and I did in 1952 on. And then eventually ABC Television bought Sports Programs, and it became ABC Sports. So Ed came in with the idea of Wide World of Sports, and then Rune Arledge was hired to implement it and get it going, and of course nobody could have done it any better. So those were the two people who really started it.
One of the things that I don't think a lot of people have appreciation for, because, as I said, most of the presentations are pretty slick now, is as you were kind of fumbling your way along, establishing, Wide World of Sports, I'm sure there were some great moments, some great stories along the way. Give me your thoughts about that.
Unfortunately, we had a beautiful girl killed. Her chute didn't open, and it she dropped, well, not too many feet from where I was standing. And talk about an indelible impression. That was it. And this was, of course, being filmed. This was really before videotape had become mobile. But you talk about a damper on a program, but you had to go on and do it. So throughout, we've had a lot of mishaps that you don't necessarily see them, because some of them were sort of gruesome. But it's like feeling your way, you know, as a child walks, or as he crawls rather, and then walks. That's, I guess, would be what happened with the events in early day television. Like I did football in 1947, Harvard games on television, and two cameras and a single announcer, and you were groping because you had no idea what the viewing audience wanted, and I think Wide World was the same, groping.
What were some of the early innovations used on Wide World of Sports? What were some of the things you all worked with or tried to make work?
Well, I think they tried to do as many segments within the 90-minute time period, and there was a lot of condensing, a big event that stretched out over a few hours, and we'd try to, compact it into 20 minutes, and of course that's pretty difficult to do. We tried everything with cameras and helicopters and in airplanes, slow-flying airplanes, all that type of trying to make the camera itself and the announcers more mobile. Of course, now it's rather easy to do that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is interesting, I think our profession, and I was so happy that I grew up in the profession at the time that I did, and of course you were before me in your beginning your career, but Do you find that it is different, that it's kind of it's gotten high-tech now compared to the way it was when we were coming up, you talking about the events? I've had my great moments, too, when I was starting out as well. You also, of course, as you indicated, were involved with boxing for such a very long time. How did you view that sport? Because there are some people who will say it's a brutality. There are others who can see a real beauty in it.
I sort of got a different education on it, because on the Monday night fights, we did 1 hour of preliminary bouts, which meant a lot of four-rounders, boxers just starting, and then we'd do the main event. So it meant that we were on the air at least 2 hours. So I would interview each of the young fighters, so I'd have enough material to talk about them if it went four rounds in particular. So I found that boxing was their way out of, in many cases, terrible situations. So I became a bigger fan of boxing, thinking it was a way for people to stay out of trouble and to at the same time get into physical shape. So I've always respected it. I've never downgraded it. It has ills like a lot of other things that perhaps aren't as regulated or as universally regulated under one command. But I'll always respect it and like it.
You also were involved in Secretariat's last race. Give me your thoughts about that.
Well, it was a wonderful experience because I did the race with Secretariat's owner, Penny Tweedy. And I think there were only four horses in the field. And I didn't want to go up on the roof and call the race where we normally would do it. So I told Penny we're going to do it in the box in the clubhouse. And she sort of looked at me, and I said, there won't be any problem. You have confidence in your horse. Well, he just took off and, you know, had at least 5 lengths, 10 lengths, 15 lengths. So there was no difficulty in finding the leader. And it being the last race, naturally, we concentrated on that beautiful, beautiful red horse. Mm. And it was an experience doing it with Penny, the owner, and how thrilled she was, but how calm she was. And so appreciative that their paths had crossed.
One of the things that I know, having been around horses and having seen Secretariat race and also Seattle Slough, and I was thinking about it this afternoon, both those horses had something that not all horses have. They had a spirit. They had an individuality. They even had a personality. Am I wrong in that type of an assumption?
Oh, no, I totally agree. Like going way back, I became a fan of Citation and Whirlaway. This is before I actually did any commentary. But they were the two great Calumet champions. And they were so different. They're like two children. And then I got to know Gallant Man, who was a gelded champion, and so many of the others. But I think Secretary was most unique because when he was led over from the barn, they'd always walk him by the clubhouse and then the grandstand. He would stop and look at people. He'd look at them like, well, I think you have a pretty red scarf on today, and then he'd walk a few steps. It was incredible to see what this horse would do. And, of course, he raced like that. He was a very uncommon thoroughbred, and I just feel I was so lucky to have been around when he excelled.
Mm-hmm. I had that same feeling because I did have the chance to be around him at one time, and I often thought living proof that there must be reincarnation because it must be somebody with a spirit that has come back and taken on the persona of this horse.
Yes. It was remarkable. You know, he had his wide eyes and his nostrils would explode, and I swear he picked out beautiful girls, Ron, in the stand, you know.
Yeah, probably during the course of a race, he'd kind of glance over.
Well, he was so good, he could have.
That's right. Who are some of the other interesting personalities along the way that you've met, Chris?
Well, I've worked with so many expert commentators over the years, probably more than any one announcer. I've had so many, like in college football, Bud Wilkinson, mm-hmm. you know, pro football with Johnny Lujack and Paul Chrisman. Started Pat Summerall when he retired as a kicker with the Giants. He joined me and was my color man for 4 years prior to my going to ABC. And then everything I left at CBS, he took over, and he's done a great job with it. Those are just a few. Eddie Arcaro, of course, was one of my favorites in horse racing because he's truly a diamond in the rough and a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. The list goes on and on. In the equestrian events, the Olympic Games, there's no finer expert commentator than Bill Steinkraus, who worked with me in the Los Angeles Games, the Munich Games, Mexico City, and Montreal.
One of the things that I think is very special about what we do is that we're able to witness not only the drama of sports, to steal a phrase, but also the human commitment to it. And I think a lot of people see it on television, but since we're the conduit between what is happening and the people watching it, I think we come away with a greater appreciation and the stories behind mm-hmm. the people. And over the years, I think that that's one of the things that's been most satisfying for me, and I'm sure that you probably have witnessed some great moments. Maybe they were not record-setting moments, but probably in a personal triumph, they were something very special.
Well, one record moment, Ron, that I remember, I was the anchorman at the Mexico City Olympic Games for ABC, and we weren't on the air early in the morning. When I say early, I mean 10 o'clock. We didn't come on until a little bit later, so I told Rune Arledge that I was going out to the stadium. because a friend of mine was going to long jump. And if you look at any of the videotape, you'll see me standing right alongside the pit as Bob Beeman broke the record, 29.2 and a half. And all these years, Bob and I and everyone else thought it would never be broken. And each year I emcee the dinner honoring the Sullivan Award winner. And the winner was Mike Powell. So I had, you know, in a span from 1968 to 92, the record holder then and the record holder now. So that was a most, you know, where it's a, such an individual sport. And to see the two finest, and now you say the 4 and a half probably will never be broken. Who knows? You never say never.
Mm-hmm. Came full circle. It's very easy to understand the thrill of victory. Yes. What about some of the moments that you've witnessed as far as the agony of defeat?
Well, I've seen so many good fighters upset. I've seen so many horses upset in big races, football game losses, golf tournaments.
Also, you were involved with trying to return Jim Thorpe's medals to his family,
yes,
weren't you?
Yes, and we just hit stonewall after stonewall. And then finally, Bill Simon, who was a former Secretary of the Treasury and President of the U.S. Olympic Committee, he used all of his diplomatic skills and power, and he convinced the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, Juan Samaranch, that this should be done, and they agreed to do it, but they still only sent replicas, and the originals are still in a vault in Switzerland. But at least the replicas are here, and the family feels so much better about it. And if Jim were here, I think he'd shrug. I did get to meet him before he died, and he'd just shrug his shoulders and say, big deal, you know.
Will you? Will it be difficult for you to walk away from the microphone after your last event?
Oh, I really don't plan to walk away, you know, completely, because God gave me a good voice, and I can do some voiceovers on commercials, things like that. But no, if I had to walk away tomorrow, I just would have to say that I was the luckiest guy in the world, because I came along the golden age of television, and that's why I feel so fortunate. The ones starting now, so many of them can start at the top, and they don't know what they've missed by starting at the bottom and grinding it out and coming along at the right time, a lot of good luck, and have perfect timing.
Also,
so I'm the luckiest guy in the world, Ron.
Yeah, I feel the same way about myself.
I know you do. I can tell it the way you interview and the confidence you have.
I agree. Chris, let me just publicly, because I got to run here to a break, but let me just publicly say thank you for what you've done for me and other broadcasters as well, and also what you've lent our profession. You've been a gentleman, and you've also been an outstanding talent. Thank you, sir, for your time tonight.
Well, Ron, your viewers are lucky to have you on the Byline Show, believe me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Chris Schenkel joining us tonight on Sports Byline USA, and I'm Ron Barr. See you back on the other side with more of Sports Byline.
Nobody really needs or wants home security until it's too late. You've heard the statistics about how many burglaries there are per day. You see the news. You know there are people out there that do bad things. The best way to help protect your home and your property is with an ADT monitored system from Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider. Call right now to get a free wireless home security system valued at $850. An ADT monitored system can help protect your home from fires, theft, floods, and call for emergency help. Call now to find out more about our $850 free wireless home security system and start enjoying the peace of mind of security today. Call 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281. This offer is for new customers only. Termination fees apply. $99 customer installation charge and 36-month monitoring agreement required. All for details. License terms and conditions available at secureathome.com.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
This is a health warning from Doctor Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and will deliver it for free. Just call 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible. Supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Another run through the numbers in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Rangers 3-2 over Montreal in overtime. They grab a 3-2 lead fast with a shorthanded goal for New York. Columbus, say goodbye to them. Pittsburgh eliminates them in five games, 5-2. Fleury 49 saves, Brian Rust scoring twice. And Nashville eliminated Chicago in a sweep. They win the deciding game 4-1, Josie scoring twice. In the NBA, Cleveland was down by as many as 31, and they come back and they win it 119-114 over Indiana to grab a 3-0 lead in that series. LeBron with a triple-double. Also in the American League, it was Boston 4, Toronto 1 in 10 innings. Chris Sale, big game. He allowed 4 hits over 8 shutout innings with 13 Ks. The big hit, Betts' 3-run home run to win it. Also, Cleveland 6-2 over Minnesota thanks to a 3-run seventh. Carlos Santana, 2 doubles and drove in 2 runs. Tampa Bay beat up Detroit for the sweep 8-1. Tampa Bay jumped out to a 4-1 lead. Souza, a home run, 3 RBIs in that one. Also, it was Houston 2, the Angels 1. The Astros held to just 3 hits. And Carlos Beltran hit a home run for the first time in 12.5 years in Houston. Also on the National League side, it was Philadelphia 6, the Mets 4. Mets helped out by committing 3 errors. Franco had 2 RBIs and Joseph had 3 hits. In 10, Baltimore slips past Cincinnati 2-1. Shoup with a home run. Hardy drove in the winning run in the 10th inning. And Miley, 2 hits over 8 innings to get the victory. And Washington 3-2 over Atlanta thanks to Zimmerman's 6th inning 2-run home run that wins it. That's your sports update.
Patroni Vineyards produces Paggio e la Pietra, California's first gold medal-winning Sangiovese Grosso grape, cloned from Italy's Brunello di Montesino. To enjoy Paggio e la Pietra's rich, seductive flavors, visit patronivineyards.com and become a wine club member today.
One of the things I've always been proud of with Sports Byline, this program, is that in the 29 years I've been sitting in this seat, I've had the opportunity to talk to so many great people. And when it comes to broadcasts, and broadcasting legends, certainly Chris Schenkel falls into the icon category in that. And it was so nice to be able to share with you our interview with him. He passed away in 2005, but he had done it all, and he had done it all very, very well. Hang around. We got more coming your way as we continue across the country and around the world. Good to have you with us on Sports Byline.
If you missed something from today's show, you can find it now on iHeartRadio Talk. That's iHeartRadio.com/talk. A special news and update station you control. Follow us on iHeartRadio Talk and stay in touch 24/7.
USA Radio News with Rod Williams-Dole.
They are doing a tremendous disservice to an agreement that was signed. It was a terrible agreement. It shouldn't have been signed. It shouldn't have been negotiated the way it was negotiated. I'm all for agreements, but that was a bad one.
President Trump says Iran is not living up to the spirit of the sweeping nuclear deal. One police officer is dead. One is wounded in a shooting at a Paris landmark.
It's a very dangerous moment to be firing guns at anybody. This could just be a crime, some kind of holdup. These things do happen in Paris, even on some of the best shopping streets.
Bill O'Reilly insists he was shown the exit door by Fox News due to completely unfounded claims.
I really just wanted to speak for the five women who had been silenced through confidentiality agreements and could not talk about what happened to them.
USA Radio News.
High blood pressure is affecting Americans in epidemic proportions. If you're one of the millions trying to reduce your blood pressure to improve your health, there is a great new way to help you do it without drugs. It is the Zona, Z-O-N-A Plus. Air Force researchers discovered this effective and non-invasive treatment that works with isometric therapy. Check it out now at OrderZona.com or call 800-936-9080. Clinical studies have shown more than a 10% drop in blood pressure for regular users of Zona Plus. Get yours today by calling 800-936-9080 or going online to orderzona.com. Listeners of this station will save $50 by using promo code USA2017. Reduce your blood pressure now the safe and drug-free way. 800-936-9080 or orderzona.com and use promo code USA2017. That's 800-936-9080.
The U.S. Attorney General is dismissing the 50th state as just an island in the Pacific. Lisa Carter has more.
During a Wednesday radio broadcast, Attorney General Jeff Sessions said he was amazed that a judge from Hawaii could call a halt to President Trump's travel ban. In making the comment, he dismissed Hawaii as a remote outpost. The magistrate in question, Derek Watson, is actually a federal judge assigned to a district court on that island in the Pacific. Senator Mazie Hirono tweeted that Hawaii has been a state for nearly 58 years and referred to Sessions' comments as dog whistle politics. She called his words ignorant and dangerous. Lisa Carter.
Mayor Bill de Blasio wants New York City cigarettes to be the highest priced in the country.
The goal overall, this package, is to reduce the number of smokers in New York City by 160,000 by the year 2020.
You've been listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for VRA. In 2003, Kip Herridge founded VRA, his global investment newsletter. His VRA is unlike anything you've ever seen. He's outperformed Wall Street every year since 2003. Today, in honor of the national rollout of my radio show, Kip wants to give every listener his new book for free. It's called Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. To beat the markets and become wealthy in the age of Trump, get your free copy at VRAinsider.com. It's 100% free at VRAinsider.com. That's VRAinsider.com.
One of the women to make allegations against the most popular news host in cable TV history is discussing his departure. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
I'm really happy, actually, that Fox made the decision to put women's rights above the bottom line.
That's Wendy Walsh, the first woman who filed sexual harassment allegations against now former Fox News host Bill O'Reilly. Walsh saying there was a reason why she spoke up.
I really just wanted to speak for the five women who had been silenced through confidentiality agreements and could not talk.
21st Century Fox announcing yesterday it's cutting ties with the TV star because of fallout from the sexual harassment allegations. O'Reilly insists in a statement he was shown the exit door due to, quote, completely unfounded claims. I'm Chris Barnes.
President Trump is not giving up on repealing and replacing Obamacare. Lisa Carter has more.
Republicans say a new health care deal in the works could pass the House and the Senate. During a White House news conference Thursday, President Trump praising House Republican leaders working on the revised bill.
This is a great bill. This is a great plan, and this will be great health care. It's evolving. You know, there was never a give up.
This follows the collapse of a House Republican health care bill last month. The president says he hopes to see the bill on the floor of the House soon. Lisa Carter.
ISIS is claiming responsibility for the deadly attack on police officers in Paris. It's left at least one officer dead. This is USA Radio News, and I'm Rod Williams-Stoll.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-797-1256. 800-797-1256. That's 800-797-1256.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And glad you can hang around for another hour of this edition of Sports Byline. You're really going to enjoy this hour. We've got a great sports story to share with you. I'll tell you who it's about in just a moment. But I want to remind you of something that we're very proud of and happy about, and that is on May the 1st, if you happen to be on a United Airlines worldwide flight anywhere, Sports Byline USA is going to be there on the in-flight entertainment programming that they have on all worldwide United flights. So we're particularly proud of that, and you know we've been doing this for 29 years now. The library is outstanding, and we're very honored that United Airlines picked us and also another program provider dealing with other subjects to be on their United worldwide flight. So again, that all begins on May 1st. I don't know whether you've heard or not, but Tiger Woods revealed on Thursday that he has undergone yet another back surgery. This is his fourth in the last 40 months, and it was performed to alleviate pain he was having in his back and legs. So now we know what was going on as far as the Masters golf tournament. And due to previous herniations and three surgeries, Woods' bottom lower back disc severely narrowed, causing sciatica and severe back and leg pain. I think anybody that's had any type of pain with their back certainly knows what that is like. It is not nice. And Woods had not played competitively since the beginning of February when he withdrew from the Dubai Desert Classic, and he missed his third Masters in 4 years at the beginning of April. And it's reported he's going to be out at least 6 months. We're going to be talking to Rick Ankiel, former Major League pitcher and outfielder who played from 1999 through 2013. He began his career pitching for the Cardinals, but for some unknown reason lost his ability to throw strikes consistently. And after trying to regain his pitching form in the minor leagues and briefly returning to the majors in 2004, he eventually switched to being an outfielder in 2005. It's a fascinating story, and maybe you saw it on Real Sports on HBO. And then right after that, Jeff Passan is going to be with us. Jeff is the lead baseball columnist at Yahoo Sports and co-author of Death to the BCS. He began covering baseball in 2004 at the Kansas City Star. He has an insightful new book out called The Arm, Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. This is a book you must read, and particularly if you happen to be a parent and you have a young child that is playing baseball. So we're ready to crank it up. When we come back, Rick Ankiel will join us and you on Sports Byline.
This is Glenn Hagee, America's Master Handyman, with the Sherwin-Williams Tip of the Week. Give your home a new look with a fresh coat of paint in the latest color. Get started by removing all drapes, cover plates, and pictures. Next, move the furniture to the center of the room and cover with plastic drop cloths. Fill gaps and sand smooth. Remove dust from walls and tape off woodwork. Now you're ready to paint. Do the ceiling first. Now a word from Sherwin-Williams.
As spring brings new color to the world, why not bring new color to your walls? Ask Sherwin-Williams during the 4-day super sale and save 40% off paints and stains April 21st through the 24th. With such great deals, you can give your whole home a color makeover. Your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store is right around the corner. Find it at sherwinwilliams.com/save. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400.
Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
The sun can make your outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable you can't use it. But now there's the Sunsetter Retractable Awning. A Sunsetter Retractable Awning opens and closes in just 60 seconds, and it keeps your patio about 20 degrees cooler. It provides instant shade and protection from the sun's harmful rays. You can get your Sunsetter for as little as $5.99 when you call now to get your special $200 discount certificate and free awning idea kit. You're going to love your Sunsetter Retractable Awning. Sunsetter awnings are assembled in America and guaranteed to last. So call 800-692-0268 now to get a free awning idea kit with DVD plus your $200 Sunsetter discount certificate. This is a limited time offer, so call 800-692-0268. That's 800-692-0268 for your free awning idea kit with DVD and $200 discount certificate. There's no obligation, so call 800-692-0268 now.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Rick Ankiel is with us, former Major League pitcher and outfielder who played from 1999 through 2013, and he began his career pitching for the Cardinals, but for some unknown reason, he lost his ability to throw strikes consistently, and after trying to regain his pitching form in the minor leagues and briefly returning to the majors in 2004, he switched to outfield in 2005, and for 2.5 years, he honed his skills as a hitter and fielder in the Cardinals' minor league system, and then he returned to the majors, as I said, and the Cardinals in August of 2007, and as a Cardinal until 2009, he hit 47 home runs as an outfielder and 2 as a pitcher, and he became the first player since Babe Ruth to have won at least 10 games as a pitcher and also hit at least 50 home runs. And he also had some challenges off the field, and he's written about it all, both the baseball and the personal challenges, in a very insightful book. It's called Phenomenon, Pressure, the Yips, and the Pitch That Changed My Life. Rick, you know, writing a book like this can usually do one of two things, either bring into clear focus and give the writer a better understanding, or resurrect a lot of pain and make the writer say, what the hell am I doing? Which was it for you?
You know, it's really become therapeutic. I didn't know this was going to happen, but since, you know, we've come close, you know, the week prior to when the book was released and even to now, it's just been very therapeutic. And, you know, when I went through the throwing issues, the thing about it is I couldn't find literature on it and nobody really wanted to talk about it. And I understand that now because of how dark and ugly it gets and how much it consumes you. And it's embarrassing and humiliating. And I understand that now, but, you know, it's been rewarding in the fact that, you know, even that it's only briefly been out, I've had tons of people already come up to me and thank me and say, you know, I went through something similar, whether it was about their family stuff and growing up in a dysfunctional home, or whether it was something that they went through in their career that was similar to what I went through with the yips and the throwing stuff, and whether they were an announcer or a writer or a field goal kicker. So that's just been rewarding to have people come up and say, listen, it's helped me to hear your story, and I went through something similar.
You know, when I thought about it, I thought also about this was the perfect storm. I mean, you were a highly successful athlete. A lot was expected of you. You were a golden boy. There's pressure in sports. There's expectations. Put all of that together, and it really is a dynamic that's different than anything else in life, and I don't think anyone is really prepared to take it on.
Yeah, I can understand all those things. You know, the funny thing about it, when it happened, I just felt like I was invincible, and I didn't even really understand what anxiety was. Up to that point, I felt like I was living my dream and on my way to the top, and, you know, my goal was to be one of the best pitchers ever, and, you know, certainly everything that was happening along my path was pointing the arrow north towards that. Just unfortunate, whatever happened in that playoff game, I threw that wild pitch and things just started to unravel. But up to that point, I put more pressure on myself than other people did to go out there and be the best.
And you didn't have any mentor really to help you when something like this came along, because it came out of the blue.
Yeah, it came out of the blue. And you know, what I learned from it was, unless you've been through it personally, and that includes people who've been in baseball a long time, it's hard to understand how deep it gets and really how to help someone. You know, thankfully, my agent, Scott Boris, hooked me up with his sports psychologist, who was Harvey Dorfman. And then, you know, he tried to help me with different techniques and coping things to help me get through it. And, you know, our relationship blossomed into, you know, he really became a father figure in my life and a positive male role model for me to, you know, to grow and become a better person.
Tell me a little bit about your family and growing up in Port St. Lucie, Florida.
You know, it was just dysfunction. My father was an alcoholic, a two-bit criminal, and, you know, the problem when he would show up drunk or high or whatever it was that he was violent. And, you know, he'd disappear for a few days, and when you heard that car pull into the driveway in the middle of the night, you knew it was time to, you needed to steer clear. You know, he beat my mom, and you know, it was just a tough way to grow up. And I never really talked about that much because a lot of those memories just weren't very pleasant. But with the book, I felt like if we were going to tell the story, it was important to tell the entire story. And that's the way we went with it.
When I watched your mom on television on the piece on Real Sports, I was so impressed with her. There's just something about her, and I can't put my finger on it. Maybe it's the strength, the sturdiness, the support for you. Help me out here a little bit, Rick.
Yeah, she was definitely a rock in my corner. And I always carried that guilt with me. I wish in the middle of the night when I heard her screaming, I wish I would have went out there and hit him with a bat and just ended it. But, you know, I was young and I was scared. And I really just wish she would have had a better life. You know, she had a rough life with that. And I know she really felt like, you know, me and my brother needed a father, and she tried to keep things together. And then, you know, he just made it impossible for her to enjoy herself.
As I mentioned, you were a star pitcher in high school, struck out 162 batters in 74 innings. And the USA Today named you the high school player of the year. You signed that big bonus with the Cardinals. And one season in the minors, you struck out 222 batters. And you were the golden boy. How did you handle those expectations?
You know, like I said, I put more pressure on myself, and my goal, you know, once I stacked up against seeing what talent was out there, I remember the first high school, you know, big tournament that I got invited to where you have all the best talent in the country all in one place. And when I came up, when I seen all the other talent and seen where I stacked up and I was one of the best there, you know, I just became highly motivated to really, you know, hone in my skills and become a better baseball player, because I knew it was a way out of that house and a way out of that life for me. And it just seemed like everything just kept going the way I wanted it to go. And all the way through high school and all the way through the minor leagues, I never really had any setbacks. You know, I just kept dominating at every level I went to, including the big leagues when I got there. So that's the thing. I really felt invincible, I really didn't understand the anxiety part of things or the nerves side of things, because I never had any adversity up to that point in that playoff game in 2000.
Yeah, that playoff game, that is where things started against Atlanta. And really, Tony La Russa kind of laments, I think, a little bit that he wanted to shield you from the pressure for game number one. And I understand at the media event, he had Daryl Kyle sit in and answer the questions so that you wouldn't get too much pressure.
Right, and you know what's funny is I actually felt bad for Daryl Kyle, because Daryl had a career year. He was the veteran and he had experience and probably deserved to get game one. You know, but I was the best pitcher coming down the stretch that last month. I won pitcher of the month, and I really felt bad for him that he had to go out there and do that interview knowing that he wasn't going to start the next day. But I understand what Tony was doing when you look at the matchups and you look at how the series was going to play out. And if somebody was going to have to pitch on short days rest later on in the series, he wanted it to be Daryl, thinking that he was older and his arm would be able to handle that better. So I understand what happened, but I don't, you know, looking back on it, I don't think it would have mattered. I could have went out there and did the press conference. I don't think, I don't feel like the pressure of all that was why it happened. I'm not sure why it happened. I only know what happened afterwards. And, you know, obviously I didn't, you know, I remember in between game one and in between game two, when I started, when we went on to play the Mets in the playoffs, I had a bullpen session. I was lights out with pinpoint control. And I thought, hey, I got this licked and I'm past this and whatever. And maybe it was a mechanical thing. And then game two started and things just started to unravel. So I had no idea, you know, really what the next 4 years of my life was going to look like. As young as I was, I just thought, hey, whatever, you know, just one of those things that happened, and I'm going to go back to being me as quick as possible.
And I would assume because you just simply could not come up with any answers, that is probably more difficult to handle than just the technical side of pitching, isn't it?
Yeah, no question. And I'm sure, you know, as young as I was, you know, I thought I could beat it with mechanics, and I thought I could beat it with hard work. And I was probably in denial and didn't want to look at the fact that it's mental. And, you know, when I got with Harvey Dorfman and just really, I think, you know, him opening my eyes to it and understanding, and then moving into 2001, you know, that's when I realized, you know, I guess this is mental and I'm going to have to attack it a different way. I'm not going to be able to beat it by throwing 100 pitches a day or 200 pitches a day, because that's what I thought. I figured I could beat this with hard work. That's the type of person I was. If I work harder, I'm going to get better. I'm going to fix this. And it just wasn't the case.
There were other people, Mackie Sasser, Chuck Knobloch, also Steve Sachs, John Lester even with the Cubs. And they've had problems like this as well. Did you talk to any of those people? I know you talked to Steve Blass, but what answers from people who have gone through it did you get?
You know, more than answers, what we, you know, what we talked about was just what we went through and how deep it was and what you were feeling and the fact that it consumed you. And that's, you know, that's another thing that's the hardest part. Not only that nobody has any answers, but that it consumes you and you can't get away from thinking about it, because all you want to do is be you again and figure out how to pitch. You know, my routine before this happened, I'd come home and turn on more baseball and watch sports shows and continue to watch other people play and learn. You know, it's, you know, watching baseball while you're playing is basically a scouting report. You're watching other guys that you're going to play against. But now what would happen is when I turn on the TV to watch baseball, now I'm watching how they throw and watching what their mechanics are. Now I'm going outside and trying their mechanics, thinking maybe that'll work for me. So it's just this revolving door that won't let go of you. And that itself is so hard.
Rick Anchiel was with us here on Sports Byline. We're talking about his outstanding book, which we're going to make a selection of the month on the Sports Byline Book Corner, Phenomenon, Pressure, the Yips, and the Pitch That Changed My Life. We continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them, so you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
Listen closely. You don't have to live with knee pain. You heard right. If you're 65 or older and suffering from knee pain, you may qualify for an advanced pain-relieving brace at little to no cost to you. Dr. Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for knee braces, will work with Medicare or insurance benefits to see if you qualify for these knee braces. Many people are now using our knee brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief they haven't felt in years. The only way to see if you qualify is to call us. 800-816-0365. One of our friendly experts will handle all paperwork and have it delivered for free. Don't let your knee pain turn into something worse. Find out now about these advanced knee braces now covered by Medicare or insurance benefits. Call now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Rick Ankiel is with us here on Sports Byline. We're talking about his challenges on the field and off the field as well. Tell me a key point in all of this that still sticks with you today. What was a turning point, good or bad, for you, Rick?
Bad, I would say, in 2001, just that's when things were the hardest. I'd wake up in the middle of the night with nightmares about not being able to throw a strike. And, I think everybody can relate to this. When you have a nightmare and you fall back asleep, it seems like you always go right back to the nightmare. But when you have a great dream and you fall back asleep, you can never get back to that great dream. And that's what it was for me. And I would, here I am at 21 years old, and I would wake up. I'd wake up at 3 in the morning and all of a sudden my heart's going 100 miles an hour. Now I have all this anxiety because your brain can't tell the difference between your conscious and your subconscious. And even though it was a dream, it's still real. And I would have all those effects. So now at 3 in the morning, instead of going back to sleep, I'm up watching TV or reading a book or doing push-ups or taking a bike ride because I didn't want to fall back into that dream. And the nights that I had those dreams, the next day trying to play catch was near impossible because I had all this anxiety, like I had an accident or something. And it made those next days so hard. And that was that's when it was at its worst. And it just seemed like I could not get away from anything.
Is that when you turned to the alcohol?
And one of my first game on that first start, that's when I drank the vodka before the game. That day I was going to pitch against Randy Johnson. I didn't know it was going to happen. Somebody casually mentioned to me about 2 weeks before that, like, hey, maybe you should just try pitching Buzz. Maybe that'll take the edge off. And I just kind of blew it off, like, yeah, ha, ha, whatever. That day, and then when I got to the field, all the I was terrified, scared, frightened, all those emotions that come with that. And I knew I had no chance to go out there and throw strikes. I knew it was going to be a disaster, and it was going to be a disaster in front of the world. I'm pitching against Randy Johnson. It was going to, obviously it's on TV and televised. And I knew I was going to go out there and be bouncing pitches and throwing stuff off the screen. So Daryl Kyle, who was one of my mentors, one of my really good friends, I went to him privately and said, hey, you think you can find me a bottle of vodka and put it in a water bottle? And he said, listen, I understand you got to do what you got to do. And he did. And I went out there and pitched like that. And, I ended up beating Randy Johnson. I think it was about the third inning during that game. I could feel the anxiety trying to overcome the alcohol, and I just kept sipping on the water bottle, and it worked. And then I remember talking to Harvey Dorfman after the game too, saying, hey, I had to drink before the game, and he just said to me, hey, listen, that's not real, and darn it if he wasn't always right, because that next game I tried it again, and it didn't work. The anxiety and everything just overpowered it. And then that was the end of that. I had to face the music, and those next few starts were just, horrible. And, I couldn't throw strikes. And that's when, we all made the decision together, like, hey, I need to go down to the minors and work on this. And I went to AAA and then ended up all the way back in rookie ball.
Yeah, you said you could hear anxiety. What does it sound like?
Oh, it's the most awful thing ever. Not only could I feel it, but it sounded like blood was draining from my head. I could hear it, in my ears. I could hear something draining, a sound. There was a sound that it felt like blood was draining from my head. And That's the worst. It's awful. I don't even know how to put it in words to describe how bad it is.
You worked on changing. When did it come to you? When did the light come on about maybe staying in the game and becoming something other than a pitcher?
In 2005, in 2003, I had elbow surgery. 2004, when I made it back, I pitched respectively out of the bullpen in the big leagues, and I was successful. But what it took for me to throw strikes was all day mental training and focus. And I had to, what I had to do was just try to, I had to keep that anxiety level down. The fact that I'm going to have to pitch today and throw strikes. And I just became this robot of a person, you know, similar to what you, I kind of feel like similar to what you'd see on a horse when the horse is in a crowd and they put the blinders over his eyes so he can just see, you know, barely in front of him. Well, that was who I was. And usually I'm this carefree, fun, have fun guy. I like to pull pranks, joke around, be in the mix of things. And I couldn't be that, but it was more than that. It was just mentally draining. I felt like I was in a mental prison. And I understood, you know, I tried to look into the future and say, is this what I'm going to do for the next 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, whatever is going to become of this? And I knew that I had to make a change, and that pitching just wasn't for me anymore.
Yeah, Tony La Russa has said that one of the two greatest moments in his career was August the 9th, 2007, when you were promoted back from Memphis to the St. Louis Cardinals. Tell me about that day.
That day was the most incredible day. It just started when I got the call about, hey, you're going to get called back to the big leagues. I remember our AAA manager, when he told me that, I kind of looked at him. I was like, can you say that again? Because I need to make sure I heard you correctly. Hey, Bull, they're calling you back up. So, I get to the park. One of my first memories of that day is when I walked into the clubhouse, just the all the guys, the high fives, the hugs, the welcome back, all that stuff. I mean, it was overwhelming. It really was. And then we get into the game. I'm facing Doug Brokaw. I get a 2-1. I'm in a 2-1 count, and he throws me a slider. And I didn't crush it, but I got enough barrel on it to know that I got enough of it that it was probably going to be a home run. I'm running to first. And as I'm watching the ball, looking at the outfielder, judging is it going to make it or not, as soon as I realized it was a home run, just this flood of emotions came over me. I wish I could. It felt like I floated around the bases on a magic carpet. My legs were numb. It was amazing. I probably should have slowed down and ran a little bit slower so I could have enjoyed the standing ovation and the crowd going crazy. But I had so much adrenaline flowing. I just wanted to haul butt back in that dugout and celebrate with my teammates. You know, everything, all the hard work that I had put in to get back there to that day and that moment, it made it all worth it in that moment right there.
I love what the columnist Charles Krauthammer had to say. He rates, his return after 7 years, if only 3 days long, is the stuff of legend, made even more perfect by the timing. Just 2 days after Barry Bonds set a synthetic home run record in San Francisco, the natural returns to St. Louis. I get goosebumps when I read that and I hear that.
I do, too. And then, I thank Charles for that. I didn't know him previous to that, but I just thought that was so nice of him to write that and just really well put.
We only have a couple minutes left, but I want to ask you, I know now that you've been hired by the Nationals to be a life skills coordinator. Give me a definition of that.
Okay, so I did that in 2015 with them, and, basically it's what they call a guy who doesn't have a psychology degree, but you want me to mentor the young guys. And I enjoyed it. With all my experiences from what I've been through off the field to what I've been through on the field, I had a lot to give back to these guys. And, a lot of young kids, especially at the lower levels, they're coming from high school and college where they've dominated their entire career. Now they have those same expectations coming into the minor leagues, and now all of a sudden the playing field is even, and they're playing against guys who are as good as they are, and in a lot of cases better. And what they thought was going to happen doesn't happen, and it's their first time dealing with adversity, and, it can really send them into a tailspin if they don't know how to handle it correctly.
You know, when you take a look at your career and your life experiences, there's two ways to look at it. Either the glass is half full or half empty. Which way do you look at it?
The glass is half full. I mean, I have a beautiful wife, two beautiful children. I'm the guy who gets to say, you know what? Making it to the major leagues is hard enough once, but I've made it twice at two different positions. And, I don't want people to feel sorry for me. I played the hand I was dealt, and I feel like I've played it really well. Now I'm a sports analyst for Fox Midwest, which I really enjoy. One of the things with that, too, that I did make it twice. Well, Now I'm the only guy out there who's played in the big leagues as a pitcher and a hitter, and I can give that perspective on the game while I'm watching it.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you your perspective of baseball, having played it, having lived it, and now broadcasting it. Do you see the game a little bit differently, having all those perspectives?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I have an interesting view because I've done them both. I understand what it is to be a pitcher, and I understand what it is to be a hitter and an outfielder, and you know, and I can talk about all those different things. And it's not like, you know, where sometimes I feel like some guys who are a hitter, when they watch a pitcher, they're guessing at what they think the pitcher's going through. Well, I'm not guessing. I've done them both. So I definitely think I have a neat perspective when it comes to that.
Rick, we only have a minute left, but when you think back on your career, good, bad, and your life in general, is there something that's etched in your mind that you'll never forget?
There's a few. You know, my first time making it to the big leagues, because that's your dreams coming true. Obviously, the second time making it to the big leagues, because everything I went through, and then hitting that home run and being able to do it here in St. Louis in front of the fans who've always supported me through thick and thin. And then in 2010, when I played for the Atlanta Braves, I hit a walk-off home run, you know, or extra inning home run for them to help them, you know, to win that game against the San Francisco Giants. Well, I grew up a Braves fan and a huge Bobby Cox fan, so to be able to play for the Braves and do it for Bobby Cox, those are probably the three biggest moments beyond some of the magical throws that I had that I'll just remember forever.
Rick, I want to thank you very much for a couple of things. One, talking so candidly about your life, but also about writing this book, because as you pointed out during the course of the interview, people have responded to this book. They've responded to your story. They've said, hey, I had to live this. And to have somebody that lived through it and to be able to talk about it, I think that gives them confidence to maybe try to find some answers for themselves. And I think that's really important. Thanks a lot, Rick.
I appreciate that. I certainly hope it can inspire some people.
Rick Ankiel with us here on Sports Byline. I want you to check out this book. It's an excellent read. It's called Phenomenon Pressure, The Yips, and The Pitch That Changed My Life, and also to hear how he has overcome all these challenges and come back and done what he's done is very inspirational. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add four more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992, 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Jeff Passan joins us on Sports Byline. He's the lead baseball columnist at Yahoo Sports and co-author of Death to the BCS. And he began covering baseball in 2000 at the Kansas City Star, and he has an insightful new book out called The Arm, Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. Jeff, good to have you back with us here. What fascinated you enough to motivate you to want to write a whole book about the arm?
You know, it was really just my confusion about how exactly pitchers stay healthy. I've been covering baseball, like you said, for well over a decade at this point. And honestly, I did not understand how teams or why teams handled pitchers the way they do, whether it was young pitchers, old pitchers, and everyone in between. And that confusion led me to dig a little deeper into the topic and took me literally all around the world trying to figure out this problem that's vexed baseball for the entirety of its history.
As you prepared to write this book, and you've been doing it, I think, for 4 years, you went through 4 years, did you anticipate anything, and were you surprised by anything in what you found?
Yeah, I mean, you go into every project of this size with preconceptions, and a lot of them, frankly, I found out were wrong. And a lot of the things that I did come upon and came away from the book knowing and believing, I didn't expect to stumble upon. So that was one of the beauties of doing something like this. You know, you learn something new every day. I learned five new things every day doing this book and trying to pack all of the information into 350 or so pages was a really trying endeavor. There's just so much to know and understand, and there's so much that we don't know and still don't understand. And, you know, when I started this, the whole idea was, okay, I'm going to figure out why pitchers are getting Tommy John surgery more and more. And by the end, I'm not going to say I was more confused than I was at the beginning, but I still don't have that answer, and neither does anyone who has devoted his or her life to trying to figure it out.
I want to point out to everybody, there's another aspect of this book that I think is very important, because I have talked about youth sports, and you talk about the young players. They're having more and more of the Tommy John surgeries out there. First of all, explain what the Tommy John surgery is, and why has this become an epidemic with young players?
Well, Tommy John surgery is the brand name, so to speak, for ulnar collateral ligament replacement surgery, and the UCL is this tiny little band of tissue that holds together your upper and lower arms. And it's really where a lot of the stress and strain from throwing a baseball ends up manifesting itself. You know, the pitching motion is not just the arm. It starts all the way down at your feet, works up through your legs, your butt, up your back, into your shoulder. And then it's almost like a gun being fired, and the kickback goes into your elbow. And as time has gone on, as pitchers have gotten to throw harder, as they've thrown more, all of a sudden you've seen this uptick in Tommy John surgeries. It was named after the original pitcher who had it back in 1974, the great Tommy John, who may have had the most successful surgery ever, because he was probably better after it than he was beforehand. But as time has gone on over these last four decades, it's become more and more prevalent in youth sports. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with the preponderance of year-round baseball that we've got now, in addition to the fact that velocity is emphasized as much as it is among young kids. We're at the point now where more than two-thirds of Tommy John surgeries are happening on teenagers. And that, frankly, is not something That has to happen, not something that should happen. And one of the great reasons that I wrote this book, because I wanted to educate parents, coaches, the players themselves on how to, if not avoid this, then at least give themselves a better shot at staying healthy. Because the greatest predictor of a future arm injury is a past arm injury, which is to say that if you have Tommy John surgery, your chances of staying healthy and having a long career are decimated.
You know, Jeff, this whole problem with arms and even football injuries as well, it really is complicated with the youth player, because if you think about it, down at the youth level, even in high school, you don't have training staffs who know how to deal with a kid if he happens to have a sore arm or a sore shoulder. And then you've got the pressure of going out and trying to get maybe a scholarship or maybe get signed when you're coming out of high school and all of that. You've got pushy parents and everything. I think this is something that is really dangerous for sports going forward as far as for the health of the athlete. Am I correct in that observation?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And we can't look away from the parents here, whose job, frankly, is to look after their children and make sure that they're put in the best positions possible to succeed. A lot of this, to me, goes back to baseball turning into a game where it's not about learning and development, but about winning at a really young age. And so you see kids, if you have a kid who's the best pitcher on his team, a lot of times coaches are going to put him out there for 75, 80, you know, upward of 100 pitches when we're talking about 8, 9, and 10-year-olds. And, you know, at the high school level, I saw a kid last year who threw 160-something pitches in a playoff game, and his coach left him out there for that. That's just dangerous. It's ignorant. It's wrong. And the more parents and the more coaches who understand that the arm is a really fragile thing and it's their duty and their obligation to look after the kids, because the kids, frankly, are not going to look after themselves, I think the better off baseball as a sport is going to be. And this reaches the highest levels, because the fact is, if you have Tommy John surgery in high school or in college, which more and more kids are doing these days, your chances of having a long pro career are small. And Major League Baseball has taken note of this, and they recognize that their talent pipeline is going to be diluted if they don't do something about it. So they started the Pitch Smart program, where they're trying to get youth leagues to buy into the idea of limiting pitches and having days off between pitching. But, you know, parents and coaches, frankly, a lot of times are just not following these protocols and are putting their kids in danger by doing so.
Yeah, that's a very powerful message in this book. I want to ask you about it at the major league level, because you say that MLB spends more than $1.5 billion a year on something it doesn't understand at all. Why doesn't it understand if you've spent that much money?
Well, I don't think there's a strong correlation between understanding and spending in baseball. I'm not sure, honestly, that there ever has been. But the fact that as much money is spent on something that it's just, you know, taking a guess at shows, A, how valuable pitching is, and B, how they see it as something that's almost fungible. And for a sport that tries to pride itself on efficiency and knowledge, baseball is stuck in the dark ages when it comes to handling pitchers. There are some teams out there that are trying to do research on their own pitchers, really forming internal think tanks. And there are other teams that think they have the solution. But look, we see every team gets hit by Tommy John surgery and by arm injuries every season. So the idea that somebody out there has this solved just simply doesn't pass merit.
Jeff Passan is with us. I want you to check out this book, because we're going to make it a selection of the month on the Sports Byline Book Corner. It's called The Arm, Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. You followed two players. Tell me about both of them, Daniel Hudson and Todd Coffey.
The idea when I started this was I was just going to follow one guy back from Tommy John surgery throughout the whole process to see what it's like, the mental, the physical, all of the aspects of it. And Daniel Hudson was a rising star with the Arizona Diamondbacks, had won 16 games the year before he had his Tommy John surgery. And Todd Coffey, on the other hand, was a veteran who had had Tommy John surgery at 19 years old, needed it again at 33, and was holding on to his career and hoping for one last shot. And while these sound like very different stories. There are a lot of similarities between the two. It's difficult to have your livelihood stolen from you by something that is extremely difficult to prevent, and that a lot of guys don't know how to prevent, and even those who believe they do ultimately succumb to it. So their stories, I think, really were the heart of this book. There's a lot of looking into the past and seeing how things were done there, trying to understand the present and trying to project the future. But amid it all, I think their stories and what they went through and what they're still going through to this day really speak to people and bring a heart and a soul to a limb.
Is there a correlation between the concussion issue with the National Football League and the arm issue with MLB?
You could make an argument that that's the case. I haven't gone there because concussions are honestly life and death, whereas the arm is just something that's going to vex you for the rest of your life. So many of us have injuries, whether it's our backs, whether it's our legs, our knees, or in some cases with baseball pitchers, their arms. And I've heard from plenty of people who say they still have trouble opening doors because of the pitching injuries of their youth. So the idea that it can affect you well into your life, I think, is completely understandable. It's why, frankly, Sandy Koufax quit baseball when he did at 30 years old. He was afraid that after pitching through all the injuries he had, he wasn't going to be able to lead a normal life. He's 80 now and as spry as can be, but he also stopped before it was too late. A lot of these guys don't stop before it's too late. They keep trying, they keep pitching through these injuries, and they're affected for it for the rest of their lives. And this is something that can start before your teenage years. There's a study in Japan that was done on 8 to 11-year-old players, and more than 40% of them had damaged ulnar collateral ligaments. That just goes to show you that while we look at this as an injury among adults, it happens early on in childhood, and it's going to happen more and more unless people start understanding the risks that are inherent in throwing a baseball competitively.
You went to Japan, and I don't know whether you saw the piece that was on 60 Minutes recently about the young pitcher over there. I think he's 21, 22 years old, throws around 100 miles an hour, is also a pretty darn good hitter as well. How does the Japan culture deal with this issue?
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani is one of the five best pitchers in the world. And I personally, as a baseball fan, am really excited to see him come to the United States. I'm also scared for his health because he came up in a system that does not understand taking care of the arm. And, you know, in Japan, they look at the way that in the United States we handle pitchers, and they laugh at it, this idea of pulling out a guy after 100 pitches in a major league game. And I understand that because, honestly, I do think someone like Clayton Kershaw or Madison Bumgarner could stand to throw 125 pitches every time out and would be just fine. But when you have a culture where they play year-round, and by year-round, I mean 350-plus days a year, some of these youth teams and high school teams practice. And during these practices, they have sessions of throwing called nagakomi, which is essentially you have to throw not until your arm hurts, but to perfect your motion. Guys throwing 200 pitches in a practice session, it just does not work. And I went to a Japanese clinic and met with an orthopedic surgeon there, and kid after kid, over 4 hours, there were about 20 patients who came in and saw him, and almost all of them had arm problems. And these are kids as young as 9 years old, up to 17 years old, and each of them was dealing with something very similar, which was damaged UCL.
We have about 45 seconds left, but are you concerned that anything is just not going to change? Are we going down a road that won't change in any way at all, Jeff?
You know, I think major league teams, honestly, have been thought leaders in terms of this because they have investments in these guys, and they want to see them healthy. So there have been some moves at the professional level that have done a better job. But the fact is they're inheriting damaged goods. And so many of the problems that manifest themselves in the big leagues or in the minor leagues are because of what happened at the high school level and the showcase circuit and everything that you do trying to become a great baseball player. So until those younger players are treated with the same amount of respect and the same amount of urgency that the big leaguers and minor leaguers are, I don't think this is going to change. Honestly, I only think it's going to get worse. And it pains me to say that, but the more people who read this, I think, the more are going to start treating kids the way they deserve to be treated.
Jeff, I want to compliment you on this book, and the message that you're sending with it is just outstanding. I appreciate you spending some time with us. You're welcome here anytime. Come back and join us again.
I look forward to it, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Passan, again, been covering baseball for a very, very long time. New book, the title says it all, The Arm Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. We continue with more of you in Sports Byline.
Nobody really needs or wants home security until it's too late. You've heard the statistics about how many burglaries there are per day. You see the news. You know there are people out there that do bad things. The best way to help protect your home and your property is with an ADT monitored system from Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider. Call right now to get a free wireless home security system valued at $850. An ADT monitored system can help protect your home from fires, theft, floods, and call for emergency help. Call now to find out more about our $850 free wireless home security system and start enjoying the peace of mind of security today. Call 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281, 800-587-4281. This offer is for new customers only. Termination fees apply. $99 customer installation charge and 36-month monitoring agreement required. All for details. License terms and conditions available at secureathome.com.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
And that's going to wrap up this hour of Sports Byline. Fascinating story with Rick Ankiel, the former Major League pitcher and outfielder who played from 1999 through 2013, most notably for the St. Louis Cardinals. And after he got the yips, he reinvented himself, came back to the major leagues as an outfielder. And what an exciting game when he came back into the majors and hit a home run in his very first game. Check out his book. It's called Phenomenon, Pressure, the Yips, and the Pitch That Changed My Life. And also, we talk some baseball with Jeff Passan. He's the lead baseball columnist at Yahoo Sports, and he has an insightful new book out called The Arm, Inside the Billion-Dollar Mystery of the Most Valuable Commodity in Sports. I'm Ron Barr. Thanks for being a part of America's Sports Talk Show.
This is Joe Spano.
And this is Bob Black.
The Spano and Black Attack, now on from 5 a.m. Pacific time till 7 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday.
The Spano and Black Attack, the best sports talk on the best sports talk network, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.